Welcome to Romper Room.
All right.
Jessica, hey, kids. And Jerry. I see Michael and Melissa. You know who she never said? She never said Quinn.
She never said Quinn.
No. But I'm Quinn. I get the microphone now, so screw you, Romper Room lady.
Your turn.
This is Learning to Listen, L2L, the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be doing an episode of Staff Picks. It's just me and Charlie today. Charlie, how's it going?
Hey.
Charlie Screen.
Oh, my God. Do you remember when we were in Amsterdam and we went to go see DJ Brainwash?
Yeah, that's kind of what gave me the idea for
Charlie Screen.
Like, I don't remember any of that guy's music other than it was all basically house and trance.
Yeah.
You know, it was out of a 90s Blade movie. Boom.
I mean, yeah.
And then also that whole club was about 98% dudes.
Yep.
There was like three girls and they worked there.
Yeah.
But every 30 seconds, man, that DJ hit that fucking drop.
Charlie Scream.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a better one. Could you imagine how much of that would have blown your mind if you walked in the club and instead of DJ Brainwash, it was DJ Charlie Scream?
Holy shit.
All right. Anyway, we are doing the staff picks today. And I've challenged Charlie to come up with country music that you can get stoned to, stoner country music that, isn't so square, country music that, let's tear down a little bit, country music that's, you know, no stranger to the wacky tobacco and right. Other fine substances.
That's right.
See, here's the thing, man. If you are picturing country music as this radio thing where these dudes are all about back roads and pickup trucks and I don't know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, man. The radio stuff. And it's got its time and it's got its place. But, you know, that's never been our scene.
That's right.
You know, we've always been into these other guys, man. Like, you know, the ones who aren't getting played on the radio. Maybe they used to. Maybe they used to get played all the time. But, you know, whatever. The market dictated otherwise. Soccer moms... You know, the ones who are hauling the kids around in the minivans listening to this stuff, you know, they got other priorities, man. So they just
soccer
be,
moms or soccer mamas. I remember
yeah, they
that's
just want to be
an old Letterman joke.
Yeah, they don't need to be hearing about any cowboys singing about cocaine and DMT and stuff, you know.
That's right.
But fuck it, man. That's what we're into. So yeah, there's a whole cool scene of country out there. So I would challenge Charlie to come up with at least three different things. Now, what did we want to start with here? We were going to do an artist, we're going to do a single, and we're going to do an album.
Yeah.
So how did you want to start this, Charlie?
I mean, the way that you proposed the question was you went mm-hmm. album, artist, single.
Okay, so album first?
Yeah, we could start with album. Album.
Okay. Who wants to go first? Should we flip a coin?
Yeah, sure. You got a coin?
No.
Okay.
Who has a coin?
Heads, you win. You go first.
Tails, I lose. Heads, wait, no. I won. Okay.
You won anyways. I don't know where. We can take it to the tape, but...
This isn't going to be any surprise to anybody, I don't think. We bring this guy up a lot, but we're fans. I've had a good chance to see this guy a few years ago. I was supposed to fly last May. Yeah, I think May. To go see him in Portland, along with another awesome modern country singer that they were touring together. And, of course, that got kiboshed. But, yeah, man... God, why am I stalling? Okay.
What are you doing? Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget.
Are you going to show a picture?
Yeah, I'm trying to show a picture, but...
Were we supposed to get pictures ready? I did not.
Yeah, get pictures ready, Charlie.
Oh, damn, I did not.
I don't know. What is this sharing?
That's it.
Boom! Sturgill Simpson's Metamodern Sounds in Country Music. Country Music. Country Music. Country Music. This is a hell of an album to get high to.
Okay.
Listen, this guy really fucking flipped the country music world on its head when this album came out in 2016. Now, there was already a big old underground country movement, but this guy's singing about DMT and Turtles All the Way Down. This album's got just, you know, like good trippy I don't know, guitars and synths on it and stuff like that. But meanwhile, it somehow manages to stay with its feet firmly planted in like country music. Like you listen to this and it's like, yeah, it's there's everything from kind of traditional sounds, some outlaw kind of stuff on here, but there's no mistaking it's country music through and through. But it's country music on acid. Like it's called Metamodern Modern Sounds in country music. You look at that album cover and you're like, yeah, this guy's into getting high for sure. Yeah, man. Like, this is an album that it's a well that I go back to time and time and time again. It's vibey as all hell. It's fucking just good, man. Produced by Dave Cobb. You know, I know that Sturgill and Dave, like, you know, he's kind of moved away and now he's doing this more pure bluegrass thing. And he's even said now that he's like, you know, when he hears these records now, he thinks maybe they're a little overproduced and he has a hard time hearing them. He's like, you still play the songs, but just, I don't know if I would make that record again. Well, I'm glad he made this fucking record, man.
He made it at least once, right? He got it out of his system.
Yeah, but you know what? He nailed it, dude. And, like, you know, I know how it is to be an artist. And, you look back on stuff and you're like, I could do better now, or my tastes are different now, or whatever it is. But yeah, man, motherfucker fucking nailed it with this one. So, yeah, that's my pick for album, country album that you can get high to. Stoner country through and through. A lot of drug references on this album, especially on the song Turtles All the Way Down. So, there you go, man. Sturgill Simpson, Metamodern Sounds in country music.
Excellent. Good pick. Good. Absolutely great choice. It was one of the three that I had on my to pick for this category.
I went with the absolute classic, man. Like, I just couldn't help it.
Sure. Well, I mean, if we're talking, you know, current country artists that are doing all this kind of stuff, well, here is I gotta remember what program to share it properly in. Okay, here we go. Here is my pick, and it's not going to be much of a surprise. I mean, a matter of fact, feels like only yesterday. Only yesterday, we were talking about the brilliance of Marty Stewart's Way Out West and how it is such a trippy, got a trippy desert vibe, you know, peyote out in the middle of nowhere doing a bit of surfing. Is that a thing? Should you surf on peyote?
I mean, it could be fun. I don't know.
It could be fun, but it might be dangerous. You might want to check with a professional first. Anyways, just, I thought that this was an excellent current record, you know, current country album by a classic country artist who's, you know.
Well, there's another companion record. Yesterday when you pulled this one out, I pulled out Brent Cobb's Providence Canyon, and I was like, whoa, those are good companion records.
Yeah.
I feel like the Sturgill Metamodern is a good companion to this one, too.
They're can mix them together, all three. Yeah. They're great together.
But yeah, when you brought this one up on our Twitch stream yesterday. That's what made me put it in my head, like, what other country music could you get high to?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, we were talking summer records. I'm thinking, well, what else do you do in the summer? But, you know, go camping, eat a bunch of mushrooms, vibe out, right?
So, totally.
I mean, is there anything else to do? So, good pick. But this is the album that put that idea in my head.
Yeah.
Totally, man. Okay, so what are we moving on to? We're moving on to careers?
You want to talk careers?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, since I went with such a classic for the first pick, I figured I'd be really remiss if I'm talking about, you know, whose career could you just, like, I'm like, how do you define, like, a country artist, like, you know, as stoner country? Who's a bigger stoner? Like, who's a bigger pot smoker? Fucking then, of course, Mr. Willie Nelson.
Of course. We would be remiss to not mention that.
Exactly. That was my thinking. I was like, you know, I went into this category and I was like, okay, there's like other dudes that maybe it's like, you know, they have a whole lot of music that you could, you know, get high listening to, or you should get high to listen to, or, you know, like, whatever. But I just figured with Willie Nelson, it's like, that's a guy I just want to get high with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he's been doing it for a minute, you know, like, it's been, no like secret that Willie Nelson loves his marijuana. So, you know, forever, it's probably as long as he's been around. Like, I'm sure in Nashville it was pretty well known, right? You know, right. And then publicly, sometime in the 70s, I'm sure people started to get a whiff of his bus when it pulled up, right? Like, you know, he's been in trouble with the law, you know, been busted a few times for possession, that sort of thing. And he's stuck it out. And to this day, man, he's got his own strain of weed. Now, he said he's been smoking less these days. He's getting up there, man, in age, getting a little older. And, but you know, so he says he's sticking to edibles a little bit more now than he is smoking it. But he's got his own strain. He's got a brand. You know, he's got papers. He's got, it's Willie's Reserve. You know, like, yeah, man, he's the OG stoner, and he does have a lot of great music that kind of coincide with it. Willie's always had kind of a laid back, almost lackadaisical, if that's a word, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, approach to his music, his phrasing. Has always been just a little bit on the, you know, on the uniquely stilted like side, and just that kind of stoner-esque way, right? You know, just mm-hmm. yeah, just a little bit laid back, you know. So yeah, man, Willie Nelson. You know, I've got a couple examples that I'll play for you later, but yeah, just. Start somewhere in the 70s, I would say, is probably the best, or maybe even the late 60s, about around the time that he was still making records in Nashville before he went to Texas and, you know, helped launch the outlaw movement with his buddies like Waylon Jennings. You know, you can hear it, man. And also, this guy is definitely into jazz. And what do you call fucking weed other than, like, you know, it's like jazz cabbage, right? So I'm feeling that he learned from the best, man. He learned his guitar playing from, you know, some of the fucking best, and he learned to get high from the best too. So
nice,
Willie fucking Nelson, man.
That's good. Like I you know, like I said, I'm glad that I picked more than one thing, because so far I was gonna kind of try to cheat on that one, and I was gonna combine the two legends and say Waylon and Willie. Because they put out albums as Waylon and Willie,
they put out a lot of albums as Waylon and Willie. Yeah.
You could have got a twofer in there, but given that you just, you know, waxed so eloquently about Willie Nelson, I'm gonna go with my alternate, and I am going to. So it's a different kind of a vibe, right? So yours, this is a, you know, you're hanging out at a club and you wanna, it's gonna be a good party vibe. I went with Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen, you know.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
That's great. That's, you know, you're rolling up to a roadhouse, you want to hear this honky tonk and piano, you want to be, you know, down to Stems and Seeds again. This is the kind of stuff I want to light one up to for sure.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, Commander Cody, classic, like, kind of in the same vein a little bit as the, like, New Riders of the Purple Sage. There's another one, like, let's maybe do an honorable mention towards New Riders.
Absolutely. You know,
but they came out of the, like, Grateful Dead kind of jam band, like, acid head scene too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've even heard people say Grateful Dead are just country music for people who like to drop acid, which is kind of true. But I feel like Commander Cody is a little bit more, like, country, you know, like,
yeah.
A little bit of rockabilly, definitely some southern rock every once in a while too, maybe, but we got a chance to see Commander Cody himself. You know, I don't think any of the original Lost Planet Airmen were there.
No, they were new recruits. Junior Lost Planet Airmen.
All the other musicians on stage seemed about 30 years younger than him at the very least, But he did also make a joke about, like, you know, he'd bring out the Lost Planet Airmen, but they don't return his call. So so who knows what happened, but I'm sure somebody knows what happened. But, yeah, man, the whole catalog is just, yeah, just great. Like,
yeah.
It's definitely, this is definitely for, you know, people who are into country music, but also like to get high, for sure. Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's my pick.
Okay, cool, man. Right on. Well, okay, this is going pretty quickly. Should we just do the song?
Sure. You know what? Let's say if it's been going quickly, let's just, I'm going to reach back and I forgot an honorable mention for the album to get high to. I was going to say my third pick for album to get high to would have been the Flying Burrito Brothers, The Gilded Palace of Sin.
Okay.
That's a little bit more old school. Well, not really old school, I guess 70s or whatever.
Well, I mean, man, I definitely, like, if I think about anybody that I put on when I'm a little bit high, that's, I put on everybody, you know. Okay, here's my honorable mention for this category, was before I reveal what I picked, but I thought about doing Wichita Lineman, the Glenn Campbell version, because I've got to say, man, that song, the production on it is just so layered and lush, and there's so much going on. It's such a good song to put on in your headphones.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, it's a headphone song, man. It's a like, get a good copy of it. Even, you know, stream it, whatever you, wherever you got to find it. But if you got a good sounding copy of it, and put that on, and, you know, fucking spark one up and lay back and just let that. It's only a 3-minute song, you know, it, of course, because it was a radio single back in the day, but just what the guitar's doing, oh man, the arrangement of the vocals, and it's just about a Wichita lineman. It's about a guy who repairs, you know, power and telephone lines, or yeah, I guess telephone lines, right? Yeah. And even that, listening to that and going like, man, you just made like such a, you know, a blue collar regular job, be so whimsical and romantic, and you know, you turned the Wichita lineman into a folk hero, and just, there's only two verses on that whole song, two verses and a chorus, and fucking nailed it. So that's my honorable mention, but
that wasn't even the song.
No, that's my honorable mention. But if I'm gonna go with my my pick for one single song that you should spark one up to,
don't pick the same thing as me, okay?
Well, okay, I'm gonna go with Okie from Muskogee.
Nice.
Merle Haggard. Now this might seem ironic, and it is, but that's the thing, is that the song was probably meant to be tongue-in-cheek. Now, nobody has ever, I don't think Merle Haggard ever went on record as saying that it was intentionally tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
But he dropped a lot of hints throughout the years. I mean, he's definitely not a guy who stayed sober or, you know, preached any of the things in the song, you know, like... Yeah. Yeah, that, like, we believe in holding hands and pitching woo, and, you know, like, this is a hardened criminal, guys. Like, you know, this guy, you know, he might not have been doing life in prison, but he did turn 21 in prison, like he sang about, like, you know. He had a rough childhood. He was a juvenile delinquent, and he ended up in the can. And, you know, I think he got a kick out of the backlash to the hippie movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement at the time. And, you know, technically being an Okie from Muskogee, not maybe literally, but his parents definitely, had transplanted from Oklahoma, in the, like, the Dust Bowl era, mm-hmm. and ended up in California. And he was raised in, like, an old train car that had been converted into a shack, you know, I think he just, he got a little kick out of the, this idea that, you know, well, back home in Oklahoma, you know, we would never put up with this stuff in California. It's like, well, you came to California for a reason, didn't you? So I think he wrote a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek little satire, but here's the thing that's tricky about satire. Is that when you do it a little too well, or maybe a little too subtle, people really buy into it. And it became an anthem for a whole lot of people that really, really, really missed any irony in the message whatsoever and took it very literally, took it at face value. And I think that, his hands were kind of tied at that point, because if he came out and said, like, guys, it's a joke, like, I don't really feel strongly about this, it's meant to be tongue-in-cheek, he would have lost a whole lot of record sales. You know, he was having, you know, some minor hits before that, Mama Tried, and I think maybe, I can't remember what else was before Okie from Muskogee, but this launched him into superstardom. The mayor of, like, he recorded a live album in Muskogee where the mayor of the city gives him the key to the city. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this launched him into a whole other, you know, stratosphere in his career. So of course, you know, he's not, maybe he was thinking like, yeah, fuck it. I am the Oki from Muskogee. And he kind of kept any of his illicit behavior a little closer to the vest for a while, you know, until he wrote a biography or two. But the biography that I have read, he never stated one way or the other whether or not it was, you know, whether it was satire or tongue in cheek or not.
Right.
But a lot of people who knew him and have commented on since were like, yeah, Merle Haggard definitely smoked marijuana, you know. Yeah, like he probably did it the night that he recorded that album in Muskogee. So,
right.
So that's why you should, you know what, just to honor the irony of it, whether it's sincere or not, fuck it. If you think it's sincere, then fuck Merle Haggard and burn one down, you know. But if you think, yeah, fuck this guy, he got one in under the radar. Maybe, you know, burn in an effigy, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. So
nice.
Oki from Muskogee himself, Merle Haggard.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, what do you got, Charlie?
What do I got? Okay, well, I mean, you know me. I like to keep it a little cheesy. So for my single to get high to, I got to go with the dude, you know. Kenny Rogers in First Edition just dropped in to see what condition my condition is it was in. That's a great, nice. that's a great stoner tune right there, right? I mean, obviously popularized a lot by the Big Lebowski, one of my heroes, let's just say it, but it was one of Kenny Rogers' first, it was his first top 10 hit, so it was a pretty big deal for him, right? Kenny Rogers, you know, still counts as a country guy, right? This still counts as a country thing, right?
I mean, I would say he was more he was accepted by country music radio more after this,
right?
But you know, in this era, he was still doing things like Ruby.
Yeah, for sure.
Loved Town, right? So, yeah. Oh yeah, he leaned into the country, and it started somewhere. So,
and
for sure, man.
A bit of a fun fact: this the guitar solo is by none other than Glenn Campbell.
Oh yeah, dude, I knew that. That's yeah. Glenn Campbell, man. Don't sleep on Glenn Campbell. He's no slouch, or was no slouch.
Yeah.
But also, if you want your heart completely broken, watch that. What is it called? The song that came from it is called "I'm Not Gonna Miss You." But there's a documentary that came out a few years ago about him suffering from severe Alzheimer's. Mm. And as the onset came on, he went on one last tour with his like family and, you know, struggling to remember the songs and play the songs. But he made it through it. And then pretty much not long after that tour, he just deteriorated into dementia.
Oh, man.
But I don't know, the movie might be called, or the documentary might be called, "I'm Still Here." Anyway, just heartbreaking, but really worth a watch. But anyway, Kenny Rogers also just passed away last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it due to COVID?
I don't know. Was it? I don't remember, but
it happened during the pandemic for sure. It happened very early, remember?
During the pandy, yeah.
Well, it was like in the first couple of months of it. Or I remember people making jokes about like, yeah, Kenny Rogers peaced out on 2020.
Can't blame him if that's why he did it.
He made it out just in time.
Yeah.
So First Edition, yeah, man, it's a classic. And, you know, one that's been covered many times by some of the artists we've already mentioned today, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool, man. Cool. Well, that's our staff picks. Just this little short one here. Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody hanging out in the chat if they've got any recommendations for what country music you can get really high to and hang out and, you know, fucking.
I mean, technically all country music you can get really high to. Actually, I did have an honorable mention for song, which would have been Porter Wagoner's "The Rubber Room." That's a weird one.
Yeah, that is a weird one. Somewhere I had a compilation a while ago that I should dig out again and see what the playlist is.
Is it like Strange Country or something like
Strange
that?
Strange Country or weird? Yeah, I can't remember. And It had a lot of fun little things like that on it. Yeah, no rubber room.
Yeah, that's a get baked and listen to this kind of thing.
Yeah, totally, man. Okay, well, that's been our staff picks. So thanks so much for joining us, guys. If you're hanging out on Twitch, keep hanging out. We're going to do another episode. If you're on our Patreon, eventually those other episodes will drop on here with all the special bonus stuff. Plus, you'll get to hear a nice little listening party coming up right now. But you can only get that stuff if you subscribe. Patreon.com/learningtolisten. You can just help us out, man. We're flying by the seat of our pants here, man. We're just trying whatever happens and help us out. Pay us to shut up even. Just
hey.
Just leave a note that says like, God damn.
Every $5 will be 5 minutes of silence from us. Absolute yeah,
That'll make for great content. People are like, I'm just going to keep paying for this so I can put on a podcast with nothing on it.
Well, we'll do it. We're crazy.
Yeah, we're crazy like that. Come on down to the Crazy Silent Podcast Bobs. Okay, patreon.com/learningtolisten. But also, if you want to know what we're up to at any given time, you want to follow us, we'd really appreciate any kind of likes or subscribes or whatever on whatever platform. We've got a website that's got all that stuff in one spot. What's that website, Charlie?
Oh, that website is l2lpodcast.com.
Right on. Okay, and I think otherwise, I don't know. What other plugs we got going on, Charlie? I don't know. You want to plug any of your old man design stuff?
Hey, sure. Let's just say oldmandesign.com. You deserve a new t-shirt, and I want to sell it to you. Go on down to oldmandesign.com, and let's get you shirted. Yeah!
Cool, cool, cool. Okay, well, that's it for this episode. So thanks for hanging out, Charlie. Should we move this along into a nice little listening party? Or what?
Yeah, let's cheer ourselves out.
Okay, see you later, kids. Woo, woo, woo.